As a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. In comparison to the ark, a cubit is not very large. A cubit in the Old Testament was estimated to be from the fingertip to the elbow, and that's what it was, square. It's not very big, but yet it's an opening. And in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side. Everybody say in the side. Say in the side. Amen. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And so basically there's a window and there's a door. My mind goes to the scripture that tells us about how that, and I know it's referring in reference to tithing and offering and giving. Yet what I wanted to share with you is that the Bible said open windows and open doors and blessings pouring out that you cannot contain. Well, these blessings that you and I are to obtain and receive are blessings that are totally off limits to the devil. Incidentally, I know Hollywood's got all of their stuff about the devil and demons and all that, but I do want you to understand there is a devil. And we've got a ton of teenagers across our nation that are playing games with all of that and joining these little cult things and doing little sacrifices of animals and all of that. They need to be aware that the individual they're playing games with doesn't play games. Amen. And so we need to understand the enemy is real. He's not right, but he's real. And so let me preach for just a little while upon a subject entitled The Door the Devil Opened. The Door that the devil opened. Praise God. Would you help me pray right now? Holy Ghost, we love and honor. We praise and worship. We exalt and magnify. We glorify and lift the mighty, the wonderful, the powerful, the holy, the righteous name of the Lord. And we ask you, Master, to move in this house today and open our eyes, our hearts, our minds, and our souls, even our spirits, to contain and receive and believe what the Word of God would say to us this morning in the mighty and the wonderful name of the Lord. And somebody shout amen. God richly blesses your seated just now. We want to say thank you to all of our guests and all of our visitors for being here today from far and wide. We're so thankful that you're with us. Amen. I want someone to prove that the devil that forsook God has been replaced by individuals that want to take up God. And the only way we could prove that to the enemy, let me tell you something about the enemy. He cannot perceive the heart, your conscience. Only God can do that. God knows exactly what's on your heart and mind right now. But the enemy does not. He does not have that gift. He wanted it, tried to steal it, but he got kicked out of heaven a little bit. And so he doesn't have that. And so all the enemy can do is read your demeanor, your outward demeanor. Amen. You can say in your heart, I love God, but the enemy will never believe it until you prove it. I wonder if somebody would help me prove it right now. Just in case the devil's watching, could you prove your status with God? Could you prove how you walk, what you want, what you need, how much you love him? Would you lift your voices with me right now and magnify and glorify and praise the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now that's beautiful right there. That's wonderful right there. And so I just, you know, out of all the other things that have happened to the devil, I don't want him to go around confused today and misreading us today and thinking that we don't know what page he's on, because we want him to know what page we are on. Amen. And so we've come to praise him. And in Luke 10, 18, the Bible said, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning. He fell from heaven. And we know that lightning travels fast when it's coming down, 220,000 miles per hour. But the lightning that goes up, that's the light that comes down. But the light that goes up is 220 million miles per hour when it moves skyward. Amen. Something the enemy would not let you know is that when we worship God, it goes up to God quicker than when the devil fell from heaven. Amen. So I don't know. I feel the Holy Ghost gouging us a little bit to worship the Lord and praise the name of Jesus. The enemy fell, but my praise is going up. And I'm telling you today, he's the one that caused it and didn't even mean to. Hallelujah. He opened that door. The enemy opened that door. And so if he opened it, I'm man enough to walk through it and get everything that I need from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I challenge you today not to sit there on your worship and not to sit there on your praise. Ask yourself why you're in the house of God. Ask yourself why you're in the very presence of the Lord, in the church of the living God today. Amen. If the answer's right, I'm telling you right now, demons will have to flee. The devil will have to leave you alone. And your worship will set you free and give you liberty. Amen. 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 So the speed of God casting Satan down is absolutely mind-warping. However, the speed of light going up is beyond comprehension. Worship and praise goes up quicker than the devil fell. We will be raptured quicker. In other words, we will go up quicker than the devil came down. Hallelujah. Amen. Gravity has no hold on the glory of Almighty God. Amen. So, just to walk with him means everything to me. Just to know his hand is there leading me. Though the world may pass me by, go their way and let me be. For to walk with him means everything to me. Is that what it means to you? If God inhabits the praises of his people, then we must inhabit the God that we praise. He can't inhabit it if it's not offered. If it's not lifted, he can't come into it. There is not one service, whether it be Bible study, amen, or a meal on the ground. There should be some time during that time that we have the opportunity and the privilege to offer praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I wish somebody would agree with me right here. Amen. I wish somebody would go with me right here. Amen. And understand that there is absolutely nothing greater than the praise that we offer our God. Amen. And so John 4 and 2, listen to this. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, everybody shout true. The true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Amen. He wants truth, but he also wants your spirit. He wants your spirit, but he also wants you in truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We understand that there is an open door. I cannot shut it. I could not open it. Amen. Hallelujah. The call is to all, and nothing can stand in the way until the door shuts. Amen. We understand that God shut the door to the ark, and no one else could get on after that moment. We understand that Noah could not shut the door. The door was too massive. The door was too great. The door was too significant. It meant too much for it to be placed in the responsibility of human hands. And so God said, I'll take care of the door. I'll create the door. And when it comes time, I will shut the door. But ironically, it's funny about who had the opportunity to open the door. Brother, get John 19, verses 31 through 34 for me. Amen. Where the Bible says, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers, and they broke the legs of the first, the two thieves that were on the sides of Jesus, and of the other which was crucified with him, they broke their legs. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Amen. The cleansing of God, the washing of God, both baptism and the forgiveness of sins. I'm not saying that we don't have to be baptized because water flowed from his side. That's just the significance. That's a metaphor. Every individual that's born again must be baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And if you've been baptized, somebody please shout hallelujah. Somebody shout yes. Somebody shout thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity and the privilege of water baptism in the mighty name of the Lord. Beware of people in the world that try to warn you of our church. Hallelujah. When they don't know anything about our church. Amen. Their experience with God is 3 inches deep and 3 miles wide. Amen. But welcome to the people that their experience with God is 3 miles deep. Hallelujah. Amen. We know what the Word of God says. We're not playing games. We're not speculating, and we're not operating on our own opinion and what we think and what we feel. Hey, I didn't write the Bible. You didn't write the Bible, and we have no reason or excuse to argue with the Bible. Amen. If you find yourself a church that preaches the Bible, you found the right church, regardless of what people in the world may say or what they may think. Amen. Yeah, Lord, yeah, they're going to think we're odd. Amen. Because look how odd they've gotten and haven't even recognized it. Amen. There is nothing as odd and as messed up as the world has become. And so when messed up looks at cleaned up, it's got to think that cleaned up is messed up. But I'm telling you, the Church of the Living God is not messed up. It's cleaned up. My, praise God, hallelujah. The call is to all, and nothing can stand in the way until the door is absolutely shut. Praise God. As in the days of Noah, when the latter rain falls, you do not want to be standing on the outside. Praise God. Now, it's interesting. In his instructions for building the ark, God told Noah to set the door of the ark in its side. Amen. Reminds me of where they pierced my open door and my opportunity for the kingdom of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I read it to you. Where did they pierce him? In the side. When they pierced him in the side and opened it up, the blood and the water began to flow. Amen. What the devil intended to do turned out to be a blessing to me and to you. Amen. He opened that door, and now he can't shut that door. There's only one that can shut that door. So, devil, you started a revival that you cannot stop. You thought when you crucified him that it would be all over. You thought that it was finished. You thought it was done and said. Hallelujah. But when it got done, it got said, and there's nothing you can do about it. Revival is in the land. People are being born again of the water and of the Spirit. People are being set free. People are receiving the Holy Ghost. People are being healed. I wish it was Sunday night. I'm just telling you right now, there's a Holy Ghost in the house. There's power. There's victory. There's authority and anointing in the house because the door has been opened. Somebody shout, thank God for the door. Amen. Look at Zechariah 12 and verse 10. Praise the Lord. He said, and I will pour upon the house of David. Somebody say, we're here. And upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Somebody say, we're here. The spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourning for his only son. And shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Because they had no clue what was going to happen when they pierced his side. They thought a Savior was going to die and that was going to be it. Even his own disciples said, we're going fishing. Amen. They were going to go back to what they were doing to begin with. They didn't understand that was simply an opening of a door that no one in the world, no one in hell, not a demon, not a devil, not a foul spirit, not a carnal spirit, no one in the world, hallelujah, whispering in your ear like they know what they're talking about. Nobody can shut this door. Once it was opened, it's open until he shuts it. Hallelujah. The ark had only one door to pass through to escape God's terrible judgment. Amen. And so it is. We have only one door, and his name is Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, there are not three doors. There is only one door, and his name is Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. By faith, Noah and his family entered the ark, and once they were all inside, the Lord shut them in. What is significant about God shutting the door of the ark? It provides a wonderful demonstration of the twin truths of man's responsibility and God's sovereignty. I have a responsibility to get to God. God has that responsibility to let me through the door with his sovereignty. That we see throughout the scripture where God says, I will open a door. After God shut the door, the time of judgment arrived. Only those who had gone through the doorway would be saved. No one else could enter after that moment. Noah and his family had to obey God's command to build and then enter the ark for their salvation. And so it is in the New Testament. We have got to obey God's command to get into this ark for safety against judgment. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Luke 13:25, when once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. I knew you one time, but now the door is shut and I don't know you now. Praise God. I don't know where the lines are. I don't know, Brother Mike, I don't know where your line is. Devin, I don't even know where mine is. Where is the line that we get to the point to where the door is shut? Oh no, you're talking about the rapture. No, I'm talking about how the door can shut before the rapture. You say, well, how can a door shut before the rapture and I could be counted out? When you make that choice, when what I'm saying right now makes you mad, you're shutting, you're drawing the line to where the door is going to be shut. When a preacher stands up here flat-footed and preaches his guts out and sweats about it, and you go home and gnarl it up and eat it all up, even use cussing, you're not doing anything to me. Understand that. I love you, and there is nothing you can do to stop that. I apologize, but that's just the way it is. And so it is. It's that, and so, but when you eat it up, you devour it, and you say things about it, and you don't even really know what you're talking about. The door is squeaking on its hinges. Amen. You're drawing a line at the end of your opportunities and your privileges. Is there somebody seated here today that once you leave today, we won't see you again for 6 months because Landmark is not what you want this week, and Landmark's not what you want this Sunday, and Landmark's not on your mind right now. I got other things to... Hey, let me ask you this. Do you have 6 months before the door shuts, and you get so rebellious in your heart and you turn your back on God so strongly until you cannot be reached any longer? And that if even if we were to call you, invite you to church, you would say things like, I wouldn't go to that church if it's the last church on earth. Hello? Hello? Can you hear the door squeaking on the hinge as the Lord is forced to shut it because you refuse to walk through it any longer? And that line is drawn in the sand that once your mind is made up that you'll never be a part of truth. You'll never be a part of what's right and what you know is right. Hello? I'm calling and challenging somebody here today to soften your heart and to soften your consciousness and let God come in and don't ever dismiss Him. I don't care how many mistakes you make, but don't ever get it in your mind that you can make it without God. Don't ever get it in your heart that you can walk away from God and that He's just going to always be there for you to use and manipulate. Hallelujah. Somebody make your mind up and get your foot toed up against the line with a made up mind that I am going to make it. The devil, he thought he crucified our God, but no, it was in the cards that the Lord was going to do it anyhow. It was prophesied by Zechariah. It was prophesied by Isaiah, amen, that he would be crucified, and he was. The devil had nothing to do with that. He took the glory for it. But when the dawn arrived and the Lord woke up and he stepped out of the grave, the devil realized then he caused something to happen that he cannot reverse. Hallelujah. I want that to happen to you. I want that to happen to me. Amen. No man can shut it, but we can open it. We can open it. Hallelujah. A killer of mercy is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is like you drinking poison and hoping the person that hurt you dies. Someone's in for a surprise today. The Lord's getting ready to divide the fishes and the loaves for you. Amen. You're a blind man at the gate begging for alms, and the Lord's going to give you such as He has. Let's stand together. Amen. I'm just asking you, before we ever make a bed in hell, before we ever decide that it's going to be rebellion and it's going to be hatred and it's going to be things that are against God, and all of that ultimately winding up in flames leaping off your shoulders about 100 feet high. I want you to know this, that at the moment you think you've arrived at the limit of your suffering, you'll find out that there's no limit to suffering. But yet the Lord allowed the door to be opened, and the blood and the water flowed. The anointing, as soon as the blood hit the ground, the anointing began to break the yoke. Graves opened up at Calvary. Did you know that? Dead people came back alive and started walking into town. Did you know that the very sun itself hid its face because of what happened? And the Bible said it went completely dark. There's only one sun that could shine that day. There was only one sun that could shine that day. And that sun is shining in here today. I'm asking for someone to make the very short trip to the greatest experience in your life. The altar is open for those of you that still hunger. The altar is open for those of you that still thirst. The altar is open for those of you that still want to find your way. Those that are thinking within your spirit, I need Jesus. Those that are thinking in their minds that I need Jesus. Those that are thinking in your heart, I need Jesus.
More love.
The door is open.
More power.
The door is open. The door is open. Come on in. Come on in. The door. Let it. Let yourself in. Walk in. Walk through. Oh, let the blood flow. Let the water flow. Let the anointing flow. Let the power flow. Thank you for the privilege, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity,
Lord.
Thank you for this chance. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
More love.
Just a little more love. Clap your hands to the Lord.
I feel the joy of the Lord.
Somebody make a joyful noise.
I feel the joy of the Lord.
Make a joyful noise.
I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. It's all over me.
Thank God for the privilege.
I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me.
Thank God for the honor.
I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me.
Yeah.
I feel the joy of the Lord.
Somebody shout, yeah! Yeah! Woo! Praise God. And so it is, the privileges and the honor of being able to walk through that door. And it's open. Amen. Thank God for it, don't you?